be in James 2. And we're just going to read the first four verses. So if you can read along with me, that'd be great. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down at my feet," have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? We're going to stop there and then we'll finish the rest in a minute. But first of all, I want you to think about that very first verse. And here James says, my brothers, which means he's talking to his brothers in Christ that are there in the church. And he's telling them to show no partiality as you hold the faith. Think about just that phrase for a second. Hold the faith. When we hold something, we normally are holding on to it so we don't drop it or we don't want to let it go. That's the way we should be with our faith. We should hold tight to our faith in God so that we have a stronger bond with Him. We have a stronger relationship with Him, and we are able to discern what His plan is for us in everything. And then I just drop down to verse 4 right quick, and I'm going to read it again just to remind us what it says. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Now, sometimes we know, we all do this, we're judgmental. We might see something that we don't like or whatever, and we voice that opinion, but we're already thinking it, so God knows. But when we have preferences that lead us to treat people in the church or out of the church, for that matter, in a different way, we are guilty of judgment. And just stop and think about that just for a little bit, that to have that opinion is like a judgment. If we are choosing our preferences over God's preferences, we are elevating our own desires above God's. So if we don't like something that God is telling us to do and we do our own thing, then we're actually choosing us before Him. We're doing what we want instead of what He wants. And when I read that, I have a question written down here. Did you gasp at that? Because it sort of takes your breath away when you think about that our preferences may, in our minds, outweigh what God's preference is for us. We need to be very, very careful about that. God is not concerned with outward appearance, but cares deeply about genuine faith. Do you have genuine faith? I dare say that we all need to work in that area to have that genuine faith that God wants us to have, that His desires are our desires. Okay, let's read verses 5 through 7. And they say this, "Listen, my beloved brothers." Again, he's saying, "Listen to me, my brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court, are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you have been called?" I'm not sure who said this or what pastor I was listening to, but anyway, I have this paragraph written in my Bible, and I wanted to read it to you. It says that James clarifies who the rich visitors to the church are. It appears that those rich visitors aren't even Christians. James characterizes them by, in verses 6 through 7, by bringing lawsuits, exploiting the poor, and slandering the name of the Lord. Their concerns were what they would gain for themselves and how they can use others for their own benefit. Now, that's how he is explaining the rich here, that they're trying to earn the gain for themselves. By favoring our preferences and judging on outward appearance, we end up ignoring or slighting those that God loves and who love God. So whether a man is rich or poor, if we're ignoring those things in them, that they love God and that God loves them, then we're going against what God says for us to do. In a nutshell, our God is the ultimate source of all wealth and power, and He is the only one who we should seek to please. It shouldn't be man. It shouldn't be the way we dress, or the way we spend our money, or we should be seeking to please God all the time. And let's read verses 8 through 11. And it says, "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law." The main thought here is that if our knowledge of God's word doesn't change our actions, it isn't really changing our hearts. So today, let's think about that. Let's resonate. Let's sit on that for a while and think about, am I really and truly letting the Word of God change my heart? Because if it's not changing my heart, it's not going to change my actions, most likely. Another area we all need to work on, and I include myself in that, we all need to work on that. Let's read verse 13. "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." James shows us a contrast here between mercy and judgment. We experience the mercy of God when we become believers, Christians, Jesus followers, we're saved, born again, whatever phrase you use to describe your relationship with Jesus. Now, we are to offer that mercy to others. So, mercy's been given to us, and in return, we need to give it to others, because that's God's plan. That is the gospel. That's what God created us to do. Favoritism is the opposite of mercy. It is judgment. If we are judging others by practicing favoritism, we will find ourselves judged as well. And to save time, we're not going to read this scripture, but I'd like for you to go and read Matthew 18, 21 through 35 today to get a little bit more grasp on what we're talking about. And I've, of course, got some questions for you. Will you obey God today? Will you love your neighbor as yourself? Will you look that poor person in the eye and smile and speak to them just as you would someone you love and are well acquainted with? Homework for all of us this week is to go to the store this week and speak and smile to someone or everyone you don't know. Someone out there needs to know that Jesus loves them and that you love them too.